for people who would say redistricting, I don't know what that means. Does my kid have to go to a new school or something? What are you aiming to do here? What is the independent map amendment?
Well, I think what redistricting is a question that has a lot of people scratching their heads. So that's a big challenge in front of us. But essentially, it's how we draw the maps that decide which legislative districts we're in. So who we're going to vote into the state house. And right now, that's done by the General Assembly. So the General Assembly is actually drawing the political maps and deciding, you know, who's in what district and which voters are aligned where. And what we're proposing is that this should be given to a public commission and be done on a much more nonpartisan way.
Why would that make a difference in state politics?
Well, I think that what you see, and this is not really talking about one party or another. This is talking about all political parties. Whenever they get the chance to draw the map, they will draw a map that favors themselves. So what they'll do is they'll put, you know, incumbents of the other party up against each other. Maybe they'll draw somebody's house out of a district. We just see a lot of messing around. And, you know, our thinking is that the map ultimately is about how we're represented, how the public's business gets done in Springfield. And I guess, you know, what we've seen in Springfield lately is that not enough of our business is getting done.
As I noted, this is not the first time around. There was an effort in 2010, but it came up short of signatures, if I'm correct. And then another try for the 2014 election, and there were a couple of problems there.
Let's just hope the third time's the charm here. You know, I think it's really interesting. There are some states that make a lot of policy decisions by initiative. Illinois is not one of those states, and I actually think that's probably a good thing. You know, so we're not California or some of the western states that, you know, ask the public every single question. So there's a limited amount that we can do by initiative, such as this, which looks at the structure and procedure of government. But I think we've had a steep learning curve going to this initiative method, and I think we've had a chance to learn a lot. We've got a very good signature collection firm in place. We've got a strong volunteer network, a statewide field operation, and as a result of the 2014 experience, the initiative language has been rewritten and I think drafted much more tightly to conform to the concerns that we know that the Illinois Supreme Court will have, and to ensure that, you know, we haven't added anything extraneous to this initiative.
That was one of the several issues that did prevent this from going on to the ballot in
right.
the last statewide election, as you noted, the legal ones. Mm-hmm. What has changed? It's been rewritten. What is now eliminated? Why will this time around a court, you think, find this constitutional?
Well, what happened in 2014, and I guess we were kind of fortunate in that it went to a lower court, and Judge Mary Mikva gave a very detailed ruling of the problems with the initiative. And she spoke specifically to limitations that we had placed in that previous ballot initiative on members of the mapping committee in terms of when for how long they'd be prohibited from holding public office in the future, things that were
basically said that was a qualification of
exactly.
somebody being able to run, and that's not something that
that's
is part
right.
of the structure of government and therefore able to be brought about by citizens' initiative.
That's absolutely right. So she was very clear, like, what was structure and procedure and where the drafters had gone astray. So, you know, we've been working with legal experts this time and studying that ruling very closely, as well as some of the things that the Illinois Supreme Court has done over the years, and have really just tightened this initiative up and are very confident that it will be a very, very strong case when it probably inevitably is brought to the court.
And would somebody who serves on the commission be able to run for office? And I guess that brings about its own set of potential ethical issues, right? You're, by trying to avoid a legal problem, maybe you're brought into somebody that's on a commission and draws a district that, hey, they might succeed in.
Right. I think that really what that begs is sort of recognizing that in terms of getting this initial structure in place, you know, we've got to go through the initiative process. But once we get it in place, we can come back and with the legislature, we can do some tightening up and some cleaning up. But I think that this will get us a long way towards our goal.
And so, Cindy, just to be sure, the initiative is written. You've done the lawyering.
Yep.
It's all ready to go. And that's why you can get petition signatures.
It's in the field, yes.
Okay.
So while we've done all the initial lawyering, I'm sure there's a lot more lawyering to do. There always seems to be a lot of lawyering.
It never ends, yeah.
But the petition is actually in the field right now, and we're feeling quite confident that the language has been very carefully vetted. And, you know, there is no doubt that that it will be challenged, and there is no doubt that the legal challenge against it will be done by very competent attorneys. But I think we're sitting in a good position right now.
Speaking of petitions, that was one of the other issues last time around. There weren't enough signatures, despite collecting a ton of them, not enough to actually get in on the ballot, making really the legal issue null and void. What is different? Do you have more time, or do you have another goal for collecting appropriate signatures, or kind of making sure that the technical and office-like aspects are all straightened out?
Kind of all of the above, Amanda. First of all, we started months earlier in 2014. It got off to a late start, and, you know, as we know, in Illinois, you know, we've got a limited number of lovely weather months. So we're really trying
to. Summer isn't helping this time around.
Yeah, it's been a little rainy, but we're really trying to take advantage of the June, July, August, September. Those traditionally pretty good weather months, anyhow. So we've started much earlier. We are using a different firm, a firm that's got a. Comes very highly recommended and has got a lot of national experience. And also we've set up with this firm a system to validate signatures as we go along, and not just the signatures collected by the paid circulators, but also the signatures collected by our volunteers. And those are starting to come in by the thousands.
And this, of course, just for anybody who isn't aware, firms are paid, maybe you get a dollar per signature or something, because you need to get so many thousands of signatures. It helps to have a professional operation. That's what you're talking about.
That's right. And, you know, we're estimating to make sure that, you know, we have enough valid signatures, you know, we're going to need upwards of 500,000 signatures here. I mean, that's a huge number. So it is a combination of both a volunteer and a paid effort.
The way I see it, so the third real complication is one of perception. And this happened last time around, but already it's beginning that this is seen as a partisan effort, something that Republicans are funding. When you look at the donor base, obviously Illinois Republicans have not had much success in the most recent years. And despite having a Republican governor, they're still in the super minority in the General Assembly. Is this a Republican, you know, ruse? Or if not, how do you get over the bump of that's how people are viewing it, or you're being accused as such?
First of all, all of the donations to this group are reported. They have to be reported. It's all very public. It's on the State Board of Elections website. It is thus far relatively small number of large donors from both parties. Our board is made up of people from both parties. We have got, you know, Christy Hefner and Bill Daley. We've got Lester Crown. We've got Dennis Fitzsimons. We've got, you know, just a range of people. I think that, you know, if the Republicans had the pen right now and they were drawing the map, they wouldn't like this. But in fact, the Democrats have had the pen most recently, so they don't like it. It's not about partisanship. It's about the status quo. It's about shaking free of the status quo and making sure that that the people we elect really represent the people in the communities, as opposed to the sort of self-interest of Springfield. And so it's not a Republican effort. It's not a Democratic effort. Certainly, you know, what we saw in California, which has implemented a similar kind of program, is it didn't ultimately change the partisan composition in California, but what it did do was give a number of incumbents a run for their money. So, you know, we think it will make things more competitive. We think it will force legislators to pay more attention to their districts, but we do not in any way, this is in no way an attempt to, you know, kind of be a secret Republican or a secret Democratic plot.
You're not alone this time around. The governor now, Bruce Rauner, says that he wants a new way of drawing maps to be one of his five items that would lead him to be open to a revenue hike. What difference does that make? Do you not need to do a petition in hopes of the General Assembly passing this, or does it help or maybe hurt in some way to have a Republican as the face of things?
Yeah, it's a little complicated, isn't it? I mean, on the one hand, it's like, you know, anybody who wants to support this concept, you know, the more the merrier. On the other hand, I don't think that there is any chance that this will move through the legislature. And so, you know, which is what the governor is attempting to do. Our effort is, you know, was established independently and before he jumped into this. And it really, you know, our thinking is it has to be a bipartisan citizens' effort to actually get this on the ballot and get people to vote on it. So I think that, you know, it can muddy the partisan waters a little bit, but at the end of the day, the only way to move forward is by getting citizens involved as opposed to elected officials.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy. It has been a pleasure. Once again, that is Cindy Canary, the new director of the Independent Map Initiative. You might be asked for a signature soon.